Oh man, do I need this? I need this like you don't know. This is the Optimist Creed. Promise yourself to be so strong that nothing, and I mean nothing, can disturb your peace of mind. Promise yourself to talk of health, happiness, and prosperity to every person you meet, and to make all of your friends and family feel like there's something in them. Promise yourself to look at the sunny side of everything and to make your optimism come true, to think only of the best, to work only for the best, and to expect only the best. Promise yourself to be just as enthusiastic about your success as you are about mine, and forget about the mistakes of the past and press on to your greater achievements in your future. Promise yourself to wear a cheerful countenance at all times and to give so much time to your own improvement, you don't have time to criticize me. Promise yourself to be too large for worry, too noble for anger, too strong for fear, and too happy to permit the presence of trouble in your life, because you are an optimist. Welcome aboard. Live from on top of the world in Homer, Alaska, I'm Chris Story, and this is On Top of the World Radio. Radio on purpose.
What so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly beaming, and the rockets red glare, the bombs bursting.
Got a few questions for you. First of all, this is not an easy one. This might be the most difficult question I ask you today. Why? Why? Why is one of the most, it's one word followed by a question mark, which is a little kind of squiggly line with a dot below it. Why? It's a question that should be begged of almost everything you do, think about. Say, why? Have you ever said something and then wondered, why did I say that? Trust me, I know I have. It's, I guess you'd call it my calling card. Followed by an equally important question, why not? Why not? It's just another word. Changes everything, though, doesn't it? Why? Why not? And then if you're really prepared, and I'm telling you, I should be very careful. This is a little bit like a prescription pad, and you got to be careful. I just want to tell you this. This is a powerful, deep question, and this one could take you into depths of days and take you to levels and areas of life that I don't know if you're ready for it, but you need to be prepared. If you're going to ask this question, you need to be prepared to really look yourself in the mirror and answer it. And here it is for your notes. Why not you? So it's why not? Why not you? That can hurt. That can swing both ways. If you're not psychologically prepared for it, that question can take you off track. It can hurt. It can gouge. It can bring up some things that you don't want to face, maybe. And you do not have to. I'm asking you to ask this question of yourself if it resonates, if it feels like, yeah, I need to ask that. Why not me? Why not you? And then this is the exclamation point, which is the straight line with a little dot below it. This is the exclamation point of them all. It's also a three-word question, and it is powerful. And it will set everything into motion. It will begin. It's like a roller coaster, and you're at that moment. You know what I mean? Just imagine. Just close your eyes unless you're driving. In which case, if you do, then don't say I said to do it. Just close your eyes if you can, and just imagine you're at that the top of the roller coaster, and you can just begin to feel just the ever so slight declination. It's just beginning to decline just a little bit, but you haven't picked up any momentum yet. You know you cannot get out. You're going on this ride. There's no turning back, but you're not there yet. That's this question. Why not now? Why not now? Why? Why not? Why not you? Why not now?
There's something not just similar, there's something identical in all of us. We all had an idea, a dream that we wanted to make real, and we all stuck with it till it was. And although we're in all sorts of different fields, I mean, like two of my friends in the academy, Marv Minsky, at the head of the artificial intelligence lab at MIT, and Susan Butcher, that crazy gal who takes sled dogs all the way across Alaska, they're both dear friends. That's about as different. I mean, and Tom Clancy, the writer. That's three people about as different as people can be. And yet we're all the same. What unifies us is this image that we have of the way we want our lives to be, and the fact that we were unwilling to give up on that dream.
You're listening to On Top of the World Radio, Radio on Purpose. I'm Chris Story, along with Mr. David Webb, bringing you what my mom calls the greatest show on earth. Online on topoftheworldradio.com, on iTunes, on Top of the World Radio. I want to ask you a question, and if you answer it, you'll enter to win a free coffee card at Captain's Coffee. And let me demonstrate how good Captain's Coffee is. If you'll just bear with me, I'm going to demonstrate this live on air. Hang on. Oh, that's how good it is. That's Captain's Coffee. It's available for you wherever you are online, captainscoffee.com, captainscoffee.com, one of Alaska's first coffee roasters, and may I say the best, captainscoffee.com, on Pioneer Avenue on Earth. Roll through, drive through. They're ready for you. Captain's Coffee on Pioneer Avenue in Homer, or online anywhere in the world. You can order the beans right now, hand-selected, custom-roasted for perfection, every cup at Captain's Coffee. I want to send you there for free, absolutely free. Engage right now, if you would, with this question. And it's very simple, and it's on my mind. And you'll wonder why it's on my mind. And before the end of the program, I may reveal why it's on my mind. I may not. That's the inference. And when somebody says may not reveal it, but I might. And the question is, what is one of the most difficult conversations you've had lately? You don't need to give specifics unless you want to, but I'm curious. As America is at a crossroads, it appears, in many, many, many sectors of life, there are conversations, not comfortable conversations, being had on any side of any debate, any issue. I'm curious as to what's the most difficult conversation you've had lately. And again, give as many or a few details as you choose. It's your choice. The mere fact that you're going to text me at 907-299-7653, 907-299-7653. That's it. All you have to do is outline something, just sketch something in there, and you've already entered to win. Few details or not, it's up to you. Love to send you there for absolutely free for a coffee card. Captain's Coffee. All right, Brian Tracy talks about no limit thinking. That's impressive, isn't it? No limit thinking. I mean, if there was no limits to your thinking, what could you do? Who could you become? What could happen in your life if there were no limits? In his book, Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life, Brian Tracy outlines a few things that might help you become a no-limit thinking kind of person. Number one, begin today, he says, to create your own personal library of books in your field. And I would go further and say in and out of your field. Like, I wouldn't exactly consider the Dalai Lama my field, and yet I've got two books, The Art of Happiness and then, oh, what's the other one? The Art of Happiness, and then there's another one that's with him and Reverend Tutu, Reverend Bishop Tutu, and it's a different title. But anyway, it's a fantastic book. That's none of my field, but I love that those books are in my library. So I'd say expand and read wide and have a library. And I've said this many times before, your library might consist of literally a bookshelf in a corner. Don't care, doesn't matter, have a library. And Brian Tracy recommends that you read in your library, from your library, 30 to 60 minutes a day, underline what matters to you in the book, and take careful notes. And I love the idea of not just underlining, but writing, even in the margins or in a journal, because you're an active participant in the book. Again, we're leaning towards becoming a no-limit thinking person. Well, how can you do that if you're not actually originating some thoughts and taking in, like a bivalve in the ocean, taking in these thoughts and ideas and then translating it into something that's actionable for you? Number two, examine your recent unexpected successes and failures in your business and life. Might there be a trend? Recent unexpected successes and failures in your life. Examine them. Is there a trend? Is there a through line? Is there something that you can pick up a commonality? Number three, approach each problem in your life systematically. Imagine the solution is exactly the opposite of what you're currently doing. We call that the Costanza effect. Do the opposite and find success. But really approach your life in a systematic way. And part of that is transparency and just honesty with yourself, which is leaning back to the original questions about why not you, and why not now? Be honest. Number four, continually expose your mind to new ideas and viewpoints. That's tough. That leads to the question of what's the most difficult conversation you've had of late? Are you open to new ideas and viewpoints? Or are you a closed, is your clamshell closed? Are you just off limits to anything new? Any other viewpoints besides your own? Consider the possibility, he says, that you might be wrong. Ouch. Number five, listen to educational audio programs. And never is it more easy now than obviously with YouTube and other venues and Audible right there on your phone. Listen to things that are educational and positive and optimistic. I'd go further. Number six, select an area where expertise can help you move ahead in your career, and then develop a plan to study that. You don't need to be enrolled in a school to study and continue to learn. Number seven, again, this is becoming a no-limits thinking person. This is a tough one. I'm not kidding. This is tough. Associate with positive, optimistic, creative, happy people who are going somewhere with their lives. Get around winners if you'd like to be one. Get around winners if you'd like to be one. Well, that's why I'm here with you. I consider you a winner. I love that we have this time together, and I cherish it, and I look forward to it each and every week. Thank you for being here. I'm Chris Story, along with David Webb. We'll be back with much more here on Top of the World. Stick around. You are listening to On Top of the World Radio, Radio on Purpose. I'm Chris Story, along with Mr. David Webb. This is what my mom calls the greatest show on earth. We're online on topoftheworldradio.com. And I mentioned before, iTunes, that's wherever actually you get podcasts. So you can go into your podcast catcher or player and just search On Top of the World Radio or my name, Chris Story. Now, there's a bonus. If you just search my name, you also will get my award-winning, fantastic pod. Okay. It's no awards that have been actually granted, but I think it could win some awards. It's called Man. And so if you just type in my name, Chris Story, up pops On Top of the World Radio and Man, which is narrated by Michael Dukes. It's about a heroic realtor. Imagine that. Who's also very good looking and solves crimes when list and sell becomes life and death. The Making of Man. It's all available on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts. Normally, I would say anything you think about at 3 o'clock in the morning is probably not worth thinking about. Have you heard that expression that nothing you think about between 2 and 3 matters? It's a nice way of saying just go back to sleep. Honestly, it'll look better in the morning. Don't you worry about a thing. I'm going to tell you about a 3 a.m. thought I had literally this morning that I kind of feel is important. I really do. And I'll share that with you in just a moment. Our question today on the table to go to Captain's Coffee, absolutely free, is what's a difficult conversation you've had lately? And I'd love for you to share that at 907-299-7653, 907-299-7653. Anything you can share, details if you'd like, just a thumbnail sketch or just a topic, whatever. Remain anonymous if you choose. It's up to you. I just would love to hear, again, difficult conversations are not easy to talk about, hence the term difficult. It's a difficult conversation. Greg shares, most recent difficult conversation was discussing the coronavirus with a teenager with respect to the realistic hazards of returning to school in the fall. It was challenging because we brought different life experiences to the conversation. Of course, that is true with every conversation we have, and that's an excellent point. I like that. That's an excellent point, that you are speaking from two different sides of life. And that's just it's a very, very interesting perspective. I like that. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Here's another one. My son just got engaged with the pandemic, is planning his wedding for next summer, July 2021. But the hardest thing will be possible travel. Will it be possible to travel more easily by then, looking at Australia, like your trip, which got canceled to the Orient this year? That is correct. Absolutely. That is very difficult. And, of course, that's an emotional very difficult thing to not be present at a wedding or a milestone. So I'm sure there's a lot of coronavirus conversations that are difficult right now. What about you? What's the most recent difficult conversation you've had? 299-7653. Feel free to text in. 3 a.m. is a really bad time to be awake and thinking about something other than counting sheep. It's very, very important, I think, to put all things into perspective and say, wait a minute, is this going to matter in the morning? And what I like to do is just kind of just go through maybe a mantra or just go through a prayer, go through some sort of a thought process whereby I can just lull myself back to sleep if I wake up in the middle of the night with something on my mind. However, this morning, 3 a.m., I woke up with this thought. Why or where it came from, I have no idea, but it ran through my mind and I felt that it was important and I wanted to share it with you. The first thing that went through my mind was this thing I'm about to tell you. The very next thing that went through my mind is, I can't wait to share it with you. I knew it. As soon as I woke up, I wrote it down, and I'm like, I'm sharing this with you today. And here's what it is. And this came fully formed, whatever that means. Because we don't know, life is better. Because we do not know, life is better. And the idea running through my mind was, you don't know. You want and you strive for this thing, and your reach is exceeding your grasp. You hope you can grab it, but you don't know if you will. You don't know if you'll do it. You don't know if you'll become it. You don't know if you'll have it. Will you be able to take that trip? Will you be able to go there, do that? Will you ever be able to have these things in your life? You don't know. The mystery is part of life. There is no guarantee, thank goodness. Because if you can guarantee the downside isn't going to be that bad, then you guarantee that the upside isn't going to be that good. I love that there's no guarantee except that you have the opportunity. You have the opportunity. You have life. You have breath. You have a soul. You have purpose. And that's enough. And now you can go for it. If you knew exactly how everything was going to play out in every aspect of your life, you would not be happy. In fact, you would resent the person that told you. Wouldn't you? You would resent the person that told you and gave you the news and said, hey, from the future, congratulations. No. All right. No. Now, in the writing world, there's the debate between pantser and plotter, and that is those who write by the seat of their pants are referred to as pantsers, and those that write detailed outlines and notes and have their writing room covered with almost like an FBI most wanted room, right, where they have pictures and strings going from here to there and clues, and they've got this entire network of ideas all laid out, and they know exactly what the last word of the last sentence in the last chapter is going to say, and it's going to tie everything all together. That's a plotter. But the truth of it is, I think in life, people that are pantsing with a bit of plot have the most fun. Hey, I'm going to plan. And trust me, I do. And I'm sure you do too. You make plans. But you are open to interpretation. You're open to taking byways. And you're open to taking opportunities that come up. And it reminds me a little bit about The Perfect Game. I don't know if you remember this, but it was probably 12 years ago. It was a long time ago. I interviewed a man by the name of Mike Ferry. No, Mike Ferry's the father. Matt Ferry. Thank you. Yeah, Mike Ferry's the father. Matt Ferry, his son, also a performance coach. He came on the show, and we talked, and he shared something with me he calls The Perfect Game. And I love it, because here's how it goes. You accept, now there's a caveat to this, that it's dangerous situations notwithstanding. You accept what is offered of you, you do what is suggested, and you declare it perfect. So what happened was, he and his fiance were headed to France, and they're sitting on the tarmac ready to take off, and he turns to her in the seat and says, why don't we play the perfect game? Let's do what is suggested, let's take what is offered, and let's declare it perfect on every step of this trip. And he said it was the most amazing trip. And he said ever since then, he's been playing the perfect game in different facets of his life. Now, you can have plans along the way, but I think the idea that you do not know the guaranteed outcome is a benefit. And truthfully, I think it's a blessing.
I welcome the sun, the clouds and rain. The wind that sweeps the sky clean and lets the sun shine again. This is the most magnificent life has ever been. Is heaven and earth and the brilliant sky in between. Blessed is this life, and I'm gonna celebrate being alive. Blessed is this life, and I'm gonna celebrate being alive.
Listening to On Top of the World Radio, Radio on Purpose. This is Blessed Life by Brett Denon. I love this guy. Absolutely fantastic. There you have it. Listen, I want to help you master the art of debate. And I say that not as somebody who has. Okay? I will tell you that I'm working on it, because it's not something I do well. And I'll just confess that to you immediately. I'm not good at it. Why? Well, right at the heart of it is I want to be right. And I want, well, I'll just, let me put it this way. At the center of any good debate is communication, just debate in general. Just understanding debate means that you understand is communication. At the center, at its core, a debate is the ultimate form of communication. And at the center of communication is what? Good communication, real, effective communication. At its core is listening. Are you? Are you listening? I find it incredibly difficult when debating on a couple of different things, debating policy or politics. I find it incredibly exacerbating to listen to the other side. Would they just shut up already so I can make my point? I find it incredibly difficult to listen. And that's something that I work on it. I don't know how much I'm working on it. I should work on it more. I don't delve that much into the arena of politics or policy. I just don't, from time to time, but not very often where there's debate involved, because I'm simply not good at it. I don't enjoy it, but it is something that I feel I need to work on, because I understand that for there to be good communication, both sides should be listening. You should follow Stephen Covey's advice and seek first to understand, then to be understood. Now, let me tell you this. If you engage me on philosophy or thinking, religion, beliefs, things that are outside of politics or policy, I feel at home, because I don't see it as a debate, to be honest with you. I see it as an opportunity for me to learn, as an opportunity for me to listen, to show up and ask questions and be curious. And I thought, this morning as I was thinking about this, like, well, why don't I bring those same talents and skill sets over into the debate world? I don't know. Other than I say, this, probably because there's emotion involved, and where there's emotion involved in debate, there's ego. And when you have ego, you edge God out, you edge out the art of reason, you edge out the art of understanding, and you just want to be right. And I'm talking to myself. If you violate the seek first to be understand and then to be understood, if you violate that, the reality is you are not engaged in debate. You're not. You're engaged in argument. An argument solves nothing. Now, pistols can get involved. Duels were set up to end arguments, right? That's the fist fights, name calling. There's all kinds of things that can enter into an argument, but usually it's not listening. It's not deeper conversation. It's not actual communication. And if you wish to grow, if you wish for the debate stage to be set for you to go in and actually grow, and you want to learn, and you want to listen to that other side of the conversation, then you too can master the art of debate. I'll let you know when I do. And I may never, it may be something that I find myself working on always when it comes to a few different things and challenged ideas or ideas of mine that are challenged in a way that maybe in some ways it's self-confessional here to say maybe I'm not as prepared to debate it on a less emotional, egocentric way because I'm not as sure. That could be it. But all I do know is that at the center of any good debate is communication, and at the center of communication is listening. And that's just something that I think a lot of us in this country, possibly around the world, could work on. I'm Chris Story. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio. When we return, I've got some great ideas from Jack Canfield, also an unlikely millionaire, and power questions, five power questions that could change your life when we return here to the Top of the World. Stick around. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio, radio on purpose. I'm Chris Story, along with Mr. David Webb. This is what my mom calls the greatest show on earth. I'm here to remind you, you were born to live. You were born on purpose and with a purpose. Now, it's up to you to get after it. It's time for TBC Radio Word. TBC Radio, the first and last word in radio. Call Josiah today and say, hey, Josiah, I want to talk to the people in my own backyard about my business. Call 803-9424, 803-9424. Please do use the word business. He likes it. That's TBC Radio, Josiah, 803-9424. Here's your word. I practiced this numerous times this morning. Let's see if I can nail it. I want the Russians to hold up a 10. I don't know about the German table, but the Russians, I at least want to hold up a 10 on this one. Noctambulate. I did it! Noctambulate. 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 Oh, that's a good word. Noctambulate means to walk about at night. Noctambulate. That's right. Bob, can I use that in a sentence? Noctambulated. Bob, yeah, okay, I'll have to do this on the fly. Bob noctambulated his way to the edge of the cliff at midnight. I don't know. It's not the best.
You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes, walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
Oh, come on. Have a little sense of humor. That was awesome, little Bob Hope. Come on. I want to talk to you about responding versus reaction. Response versus react. And when you think about those two very similar words, imagine a response as something that is reasoned, and a reaction is something more like a scratching of an itch. So response, when you respond to something, it's thought out. Respond is something that you take responsibility for. Your response is something you can be responsible for. Like, I'm responsible for that. When you react to something, typically don't you kind of think later about it and go, I wish I'd handle that a little differently. I don't know. I don't know about that. When you react and you scratch an itch, you end up just bloody and regretful. And okay, here's another. I like this. Think about reaction as an allergic reaction. When you react, it's like an allergic reaction. That's never good. Versus, yeah, Bob's responding well to the medication. A response is better than a reaction. You can react all the way through life. There's no real law against it. There's no rules against it. If you wish to have less, to be less, to have fewer relationships, less meaningful relationships, you can just keep on reacting. Or you can begin to pull back, take a beat, and respond. I usually find that when I take that pause, that beat in between stimulus and response, or stimulus and react, by take a beat, the longer that pause is, the more able to respond, the more responsible I am, and the more happy I am and content with the outcome of said response versus reaction. Does that make sense to you? It's just something that I just wanted to share. So responding is a way of being response able, able to respond versus react. And I think about reaction as more animalistic, like animals react. You're a human being. You have the ability to respond sensibly. One of the things I love about a library, and Brian Tracy is so right, having a library of your own, even again, if it's just a corner in a room, it's just a bookshelf, it's just a couple of cinder blocks with a board stretched across them for now, it doesn't matter. Having a place where you have a repository of your own place of refuge, a retreat in the mind where you can go and yes, I've read this book. I'm going to go back and I'm going to dip into it for just a minute. That's what I did this morning with this book called The Success Principles. And I brought it here to this microphone many times. And there's a reason, because it's something that has a, I would say that it is like a recipe book for a good day and a well-lived life. But it's a recipe book such that you can just open it up and go, oh, I think I'll read about positivity today. I think I'll read about this idea today or that. And you don't need to sit and read it cover to cover. You can just go and pick and choose, a little bit like the seasoning cabinet. And I like that. And I did that this morning. I just picked it up and I said, you know, I wonder what Jack's got to say to me today. I wonder what Jack Canfield would say to Chris Story on this day. Well, here's exactly what he did say. He outlined the rules of the game. As he learned from Marshall Thurber in the late 1970s, the rules of the game as it pertains to relationships. In relationships, really a well-lived life can be measured by relationships. Do you have them? Are they deep? Are they meaningful? Do you have relationships? That's going to determine, are you remembered? Are you contributing? What relationships do you have such that you are fostering them? Better and more relationships. And the rules of the game are set up very simply. Again, Marshall Thurber, late 1970s, as related by Jack Canfield. Number one, rules of the game. I write this down. Also, this will be featured on our podcast at wherever you get podcasts and on Top of the World Radio. So if you can't write it down, it's okay. Number one, be willing to support your purpose, values, rules, and goals. That is the first rule of relationship, the rules of the game. Be willing to support their purpose, their values, their rules, and their goals. Be willing to support. Makes sense, right? That's a no-brainer. Number two, speak with good purpose. If it doesn't serve, don't say it. No making people wrong or justifying or defending. Speak with good purpose. Man, how many relationships could be saved, enhanced, improved, started, just literally by not saying what doesn't serve. Number three, if you disagree or do not understand, ask clarifying questions. Don't make the other person wrong. See, this is all part and parcel of debate as well. If you enter a debate to make the other person wrong, you both have lost because the opportunity of a relationship is gone. So if you disagree or don't understand, ask clarifying questions. Help me understand. Are you saying, do you mean this? Is this what you meant? Okay, yeah. If you go into it making the other person wrong, then again, you both have lost. And I will tell you this, while I've admitted readily that I'm not the world's greatest debater, I'm actually really, really good, said with all humility aside, at negotiating. And the reason is because I am curious and I do apply these same kinds of rules. I listen, I seek first to understand, I ask clarifying questions, I never go into it making somebody else wrong. It's maybe not yet or not enough, but it's never wrong. It's just where they're coming from and try to find and seek solutions. So that really makes all the difference for me to look at these things in debate or communication or relationship through the eyes of what I am good at, and it helps me relate, and maybe it will you as well. But if you disagree or you don't understand something, get curious, ask clarifying questions, and just don't make the other person wrong. And the fourth rule of the game, make only agreements you're willing and intend to keep. Okay? Learn to only make agreements that you can or intend to keep. And sometimes we end up overcommitting, don't we? Number five, if you can't keep an agreement, communicate as soon as practically possible to the other person. If you can't, if you find yourself unavoidably detained, you can't make it, you can't hold up your end of the stick, let the other party know as quickly as possible. That's good friendship, isn't it? That's good client-level relationship. That's good relationship in general. Number six, when something's not working, first look to the system for corrections, then propose a system-based solution to the person who can do something about it. In other words, don't just bitch and moan. We all know people that just want to sit there and gripe and complain, but have you told so-and-so? No. Well, do you have a different alternative way to do this? No. Well, then, so what are you doing? You tell me one more time. You're criticizing. Got it. You're a critic. You're a professional critic. Good for you. Oh, no, you don't get paid. You're an amateur. Got it. It's your hobby. It's what defines you. I get it now. Thank you. So systems-based versus people-based. I like that because people can hear it better. This is not ninth place ribbon stuff, what he's talking about here. This is actually just saying if you approach the system versus the people, you'll have their cooperation and they won't feel attacked or impinged upon, but you can work on the system and get the cooperation of the people. I actually really like that a lot. That's actually kind of just a little aha moment. And number seven, be responsible. No blaming, no defending, no justifying, no shaming. Now, again, this is coming from the late 1970s. How applicable would this be in today's social media world? Somebody was just telling me the other day, this is a new phenomenon, at least to me, maybe you're aware of it, but somebody inadvertently, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, was driving down the road with some trash coming out of the back of their truck, and on a Facebook page shows up, a very public and page designed for community conversation. On it shows up a picture of this vehicle with the trash coming out and the license plate clearly there. And it's just a pure shaming move. And it's like, oh, come on, are you kidding me? Be responsible. Again, maybe it was purposeful litter, but I doubt it. Be responsible. No blaming, no defending, no justifying, and no shaming. That's the rules of the game. Be willing to support their values. Speak with purpose. Don't say it if it doesn't serve. If you don't understand, ask questions. Make only agreements that you can commit to actually. And if you can't, you have to break it. Speak up as quick as practically possible. And when something's not working, look for a systems-based solution. Don't just moan about it. And then be responsible. No blaming, no defending, and no shaming. Absolutely no shaming.
Heartbreak is like the weather ravaging my soul, but I know it moves on. Storms are followed by the most beautiful blue skies. I will keep carrying on. See, God only gives you just strong enough to handle. Well, I must be pretty strong.
Just blue sky.
You're listening to Top of the World Radio, Radio on Purpose. It's 46 minutes after the hour. It's been a real privilege and pleasure to be here. I can't wait for our final segment. Much, much more to come. I hope you'll be here when we come back. Plus, I want to hear the most difficult conversation. Not necessarily. Don't send me the wiretap of it. I just want to know what has been kind of the theme of or the topic of the most difficult conversation you've had of late at 907-299-7653. Here's a little more Jewel. Chris Story, and this is On Top of the World Radio, Radio on Purpose. I'm going to give you the best kept secret of the rich. You ready for that? The best kept secret of the rich. But before I do, I want to share with you something out of Chris Hogan. I had to look over to the library. Chris Hogan wrote Everyday Millionaires, and this is a little testimonial out of the book Everyday Millionaires, and it's from a guy named Jim, who's worth $2.8 million. His net worth is $2.8 million. He writes, I grew up on welfare. My siblings never finished school. I was on my own at age 14 and self-supporting. Hard work, saving, education, and a positive attitude always landed me in very good jobs where I continued to save. I had a mindset that I couldn't count on family, so I had better take care of myself. I was blessed to be able to financially care for my mother, who had nothing at retirement. If a poor kid who came from welfare can become a millionaire, anybody can do it. That's Jim, $2.8 million, interviewed by Chris Hogan for the book Everyday Millionaires. So what is the best kept secret of the rich? According to Jim Rohn, and I love this, this is great, from his book, Living an Inspired Life, he calls this the best kept secret of the rich. Are you ready for this? He writes, there's a connection between appreciating yourself and appreciating and respecting time. People who appreciate themselves understand and respect the use of time. Here's what I call the best kept secret of the rich. It's an interesting discovery that I made one day. I couldn't believe it when I found out that rich people have about 24 hours a day, and poor people have about 24 hours a day. Imagine that, Jim Rohn writes. The difference between them is the management of that time. Practicing a few disciplines, simple disciplines, every day can change your entire life, your whole life, your future can change, your income can change. You must get a handle on the management of your time. As everything worthwhile, discipline must be practiced. Discipline is a very important factor in how you manage your time, the 24 hours that are given to you every single day.
Well, I spoke to this man, said he'd been to the moon, carved his name in the ground, saw the world spinning round. Came back that afternoon, and I laughed at this man. Said he'd been lost at sea. Heard the sirens call, seen the pirates fall to the monsters in the deep. I said I'd heard some tall tales, some good stories in my time. So I asked him for proof, and he showed me the truth. Was dancing in his eyes.
You're listening to On Top of the World Radio, Radio on Purpose. I want to thank Horizon Satellite, Horizon Wireless, for helping bring this show about. Their incredibly fast wireless network enables me to stand here at the corner of West Hill and the Sterling Highway and talk to you. That's right, but we have to mirror all the way back up to the mothership of KPEN and KGTL. How do we do it? We do it. The secret is Horizon Satellite, Horizon Wireless, 226 226-3130. They've been in business for over a dozen years now, and there's a reason why they're number one. Horizon Satellite, Horizon Wireless, 226-3130. I got some questions for you. You notice the theme to today's program? A lot of questions. I came to this show, I came to this microphone, I came to you today, not with knowledge, but with questions. Here are five power questions. It's time for a checkout for the knockup. We're over halfway through the year, if you haven't noticed already. So here's some power questions. Number one, what do you want to do? So this is the time to check up where you are. So if in the beginning of the year you were with me, we asked these same very questions in early January. Okay, what do I want to do? Apply to 2020. Obviously, there's been some interruption. Am I right? Can I get a wah-wah? What an idiot. What do I want to do this year? What do you want to do? Now, that's maybe you've been derailed. Maybe you've been empowered. Maybe you've moved on. Maybe you're in the midst of a calamity or a crisis. Maybe things have happened in your life that are completely out of your control. There's nothing you can do about it, nothing you could have done to alter the circumstances. Question is, what do you do from here? What will you do? Power question number two, what do you want to be? Who do you want to be? Excuse me. Who do you want to be? That's circumstantial in the moment only if you've not planned on it already. If you know you want to be a better man, a better woman, a better child, you want to be a better Christian, you want to be a better father, you want to be a better mother, spouse, you want to be better. What is it? Who do you want to be? That can be, again, circumstantial in the moment, or it's something you're continually working on and towards. It doesn't really ever end, but it's a good question to ask. And am I in alignment with who I want to be? Number three, what do I want to see? What do I want to see? Keep your eyes open. What do you want to see? What do you want to see in the world? What do you want to have? Number four, what do you want to have? As we move down these power questions, having should be at the very bottom. It isn't, but it should be. What do you want to have? It's an abundant world. You live in abundance, whether you want to participate in that or not. That's up to you. So what do you want to have? Now, as we asked this early on in the year, we probably wouldn't have known about, wouldn't have even suggested coronavirus. You don't want to have it, obviously. You want to have health. That's become abundantly important, has it not? And there's an abundance of health all around you. With coronavirus, with the Wuhan flu, the Kung Flu, you have a 99.1% survival rate probably. It's high, 99.8, 99.1. It's way up there. And so you have an abundance of health that's all around you. Might you be a little more careful right now with what you're doing? I hope so. Number five, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? And to Carla's point earlier, that may be a little bit out of your control right now. You want to go to Australia? Maybe you're not able to or don't really want to. I was talking to somebody earlier today thinking about, they're thinking about coming up here and just said, you know, travel just doesn't sound fun right now. And so they're choosing not to. They could, but they're choosing not to. And so I get that. So maybe where you want to go is going to be in state. Maybe going to be a little bit more of a staycation answer to that. Where do I want to go? But it's also, where do you want to go in life? It's up to you. Where do you want to go? So if you answer these questions for yourself, I think that you're going to find an abundant world, and you're going to find an abundance of contentment, happiness, and future thinking that is right here at your fingertips, right here in your control right now. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about work and play. And I'm sorry that we were not together last Tuesday. I'm sorry, not sorry. You know, you ever hear people say that? Sorry, not sorry. I am sorry because I missed us being together, but I'm also not sorry because we were on the Kenai Lake and it was amazing. It was restorative. It was some excellent downtime. It was nice to just be sort of settled, just Tiffany, me, and Reagan and Cooper, our Cavalier King Charles Spaniels, which, by the way, I talked to a couple of other friends that are owners of Cavalier King Charles Spaniels, and we agree, if you wish to own a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, you must get a license. This is not any dog. This should just be handed out to anybody. Very special. But it was me, Tiff, and the boys, and we were just having just a grand old time kayaking on the Kenai Lake. It was just It was phenomenal. So I'm sorry, not sorry. Enjoyed ourselves and glad to be back here, though. But I was just going to say, be careful that when you're working, you're actually working and your focus is there, and then schedule your playtime so that you can be actually at play when you're at play. It is so important in today's society, in any day and age, truthfully. But it's so important you have that restorative time. It's so important that you actually get out and play. We have such a short window of summer, you know. Can I get an Iron Man on that? I mean, we have such a short window of summer. Get out and play and set up your life in such a way that you can actually get out and enjoy these incredible outdoors. You understand people travel from around the world to get where you live to play. Who am I preaching to the choir? The Homer Spit is crawling with people every single day. I think all of Homer is being vacationed in by most of the rest of Alaska. And so I think it's wonderful. Just leave it cleaner than you found it. That's all I ask. And don't tailgate me ever. So there's that. And then the last thing I would say is as Jim Rohn said, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And that's an uncontrollable element sometimes. You can't always control who gets hired where you work. You can't always control your family if you're a sibling. You see, you're a middle child. You can't control who you're around most of the time. But there are ways that you can spend time with dead people. Right? You could spend time with dead people. There are people that have written books, audios. There's people that you can read, watch. So be careful, because it's not just the people that you have to spend time with. It's the people you choose to spend time with. Are they negative? Are you taking in more negativity than positivity? You have the option to pick up additional people and listen, read, and learn from the best. I'm Chris Story, along with Mr. David Webb, thanking you for being here. And until next time, I'm wishing you a great day and reminding you, you were born on purpose.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down.